So you know that throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. We've talked about all kinds of things in the first half of the year, and now it's August already. How did that happen? And the last couple of weeks, you heard Pastor Evie and Pastor Stewart talk about connecting to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to wrap that up today, talking about God's Spirit coming to us. And so I'm going to invite you to listen closely to a little passage from Romans. It's sometimes a misunderstood passage, and I'll say something about that in the message. Listen closely for what Romans chapter 5 and the little verse from chapter 8 says about the coming of God's Spirit into our lives. And then I'm going to tell you the story from 1 Kings chapter 19 in the midst of the sermon and the message in just a few minutes. So this is about God coming to us, not in a great and powerful, but in those small and quiet ways when God's Spirit works on our hearts to bring us peace, comfort, and strength.
Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
So I want to invite you to pray with me. I'm going to be including the 1 Kings passage. It's 1 Kings 1 through 13 in the message in just a few minutes. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you, through us, shall renew the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So outside Prescott, up on the mountain, on Camp Mingus Mountain, there is a United Methodist camp, Camp Mingus. And 3 years ago, I got to go up to Mingus for a week with 100 elementary age kids. Whew. Yeah. I was the spiritual director for that week. And I took our grandson with us. So it was great to have him there. He was going in fourth grade then. And you can imagine, this started on Monday and went until late Friday. And you can imagine that this was a pretty rambunctious bunch, right? 100 elementary kids scattered throughout camp. And it's gorgeous up there. It's beautiful, cool weather up in the mountains. And they were very rambunctious for the first couple of days. And then we went to bed on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday morning, we woke to this mist over the land, like you see in the picture. It was as if God's Holy Spirit moved in overnight and hovered, waiting for dawn and for us to wake. So we quietly tiptoed out onto the big patio in front of the lodge where we were staying, and we watched the mist. This is unusual up there. Usually it's very clear. This was not smoke. It was this mist that hovered over the camp. And we tried to see things through it. But early in the morning, you couldn't see through it. As if God's Spirit moved in overnight and hovered, waiting for us to wake. And the children tiptoed out there too. And suddenly it was more peaceful. There was this sense of comfort and calm that descended upon the group Now, they weren't quiet and calm the whole rest of the week, but there was this sense of quietness, this sense of calm that descended upon us. And all of a sudden, we leaders felt strengthened by this. We could do this. We could make it till Friday. God's Spirit came in this quiet mist and brought us peace and comfort and strength. You know how we have acronyms for everything nowadays, right? ICS and UMC for the United Methodist Church and VBS for vacation. We have acronyms for everything, right? Well, you have your own acronym to take with you today. This is your own PCS today. Peace, comfort, and strength that you get to take with you today by the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. God's Spirit makes everything better for us. It moves in and around and through us, sometimes pushing us into new things, moves in and around and through us and makes everything better. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What the Holy Spirit does for us is brings us peace. So when we let the Holy Spirit enter into our lives, you know, often we think that this should come in some big dramatic way, like on Pentecost, but sometimes God's Spirit comes in quiet ways and settles in on us and brings us peace. Sometimes God's Spirit comes and brings us comfort. When we are wrestling with something and deeply troubled, or we're sick or unwell, God's Spirit, if we let it, comes and brings us comfort and healing and hope. And then God's Spirit strengthens us for whatever is next. And that is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about in that passage from Romans chapter 5, where he says, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Now, this is sometimes a misused passage because it talks about boasting in suffering. So sometimes out of this, people will glorify suffering, that God wants us to suffer. No, you see, this little passage is about God's Spirit being with us and bringing us hope in all circumstances, especially during times of suffering. God's love has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit and strengthens us to go beyond where we are. God's Spirit makes everything better for us. It moves in and around and through us if we pay attention. Now, again, we often look for God's Spirit to be something powerful, like it was at Pentecost, a great and a mighty rushing wind, or like an earthquake, or like fire burning within us. And sometimes the Spirit does come that way. But more often, it comes in a still small voice, like the passage from 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a story about the prophet Elijah. Elijah has been a very faithful prophet for God in the Old Testament. In fact, Elijah engaged in a great battle with the prophets of Baal and managed to get all those prophets killed. But Queen Jezebel didn't like that and said, in fact, she was going to get Elijah killed for doing that, for destroying her prophets. So Elijah becomes very discouraged and runs into the hills, into the wilderness. And he sits under a broom tree. And he says, God, just let me die. And two times, angels come. Angels come, and quietly, while Elijah is sleeping under the broom tree, the angels bring him food and water. Not just once, but twice. And God comes to him and says, Elijah, what is it you're doing here? And he says, you know, God, I've been really, really faithful to you. We know this, how this goes sometimes, where we say, God, I've been really, really faithful to you, and trouble came anyway. That's what Elijah says. God, I've been so faithful to you. I've done everything that you told me to do. And still, Jezebel wants to get me killed, and so I'm sitting here under a broom tree. And God says, I want you to eat and drink and take nourishment. And so Elijah does, and then he heads further into the wilderness to Mount Horeb, and he hides in a cave. He's not done with his hiding yet. He hides in a cave. And finally, God says to him, Elijah, come out of that cave and sit right here on the side of the mountain. And while he's doing that, a great earthquake happens. And the scripture tells us God was not in the earthquake. And then there was a great wind. And scripture says, but God was not in the wind. And then there was a fire. Oh, this sounds like Pentecost, doesn't it? There was a fire. And yet we're told in scripture that God was not in the fire. And then, pay attention to this, the scripture says there was a sound of sheer silence. What in the world is that? The sound of sheer silence. And God was in the silence. And God says to Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah says again, you know, God, I tried to be faithful to you. And God says, get up. I'm strengthening you. I'm strengthening you for the task that I have ahead for you. You need to go and do this and this and this, and then you need to anoint Elisha to be your successor. And strengthened by the silence and God coming, Elijah gets up and goes. Because God has promised to be with him, to guide him, to show him the way, to give him peace, to bring him comfort, to strengthen him in a quiet way. God makes things better so that Elijah can serve better. God's spirit came in the sheer silence. Sometimes I've had disappointments in my life. We had even a couple of them while we were on our trip, a couple of disappointments. We weren't able to stay where we expected to stay, on the water, where we really enjoy things. We all have disappointments, don't we, and want to go sit under the broom tree or hide out in the cave. And God says to us, why don't you come on out? And one day, everyone else went hiking, and some of you will remember that just a little over a year ago, my brother Larry, my younger brother, had a catastrophic stroke. And he's been recuperating this year, and he and his wife Marty were with us on our trip almost the whole time. And he is recuperating, and one day I said, I'll spend the day with Larry, the rest of you kind of go do your thing, which was fine. And Larry and I went to a nature center, and he's able to walk with some help. And he's able to talk and converse. And for about 2 hours, Larry and I walked through this nature center where streams of living water were flowing. And we'd stop, because he needs to sit fairly often, we'd stop at a bench and we'd look around, we'd listen to the birds singing. We'd stop at an overlook and we'd look into the water, and he'd look down there and he'd say, that's a trout down there. Or that's a little sunfish down there. And we'd walk a little bit further down a little path, and he looked and he stood by the side of the railing, and he said, look at that, that's a beaver dam down there. A beaver built a dam down there. And we could hear the rushing water coming down. And as we finished our walk, and he was tired and I was tired, and we went back to our car, we looked at each other and we said, what a wonderful time this was. To walk and talk together in the midst of God's creation. Something we never expected to be able to do again. And this great peace descended. And a sense of comfort and a strengthening to be able to do the things that God has yet in store for us. And it was this quiet way that God's Spirit moved and made everything better. You see, God longs to bring us peace and comfort and strength, making everything better for us if we pay attention. What if we'd never gone on that walk that day and God was just waiting to reveal God's Spirit to us, to pour out God's Spirit? We're more able to do what God wants of us in the world if we let God's Spirit work in us, if we pay attention. Throughout this year, we've been talking about connecting to God and one another. Today, we're talking about the peace and the comfort and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit through the breaking in of God's Spirit. We think about God the Father as Creator. We think about God the Son, Jesus, who came to earth to be with us. And here we have God the Spirit, God alive, working in and through us by the power of the Spirit. You know how God's Spirit comes to us in quiet ways, and all we need to do is pay attention to the ways that God is connecting with us and connecting us to each other. One of the ways we pay attention is by being here in worship. This helps you pay attention, doesn't it? It helps you pay attention. We pay attention by coming to communion, where in the ordinary things of bread and cup, God's Spirit comes, bearing peace and comfort and strength. We learn who we are as part of Jesus, his followers, and we let the Spirit breathe in us in these elements and make everything better. What I wish for you as we close out this series on the Holy Spirit is your very own PCS. Peace, comfort, and the strengthening of God's Spirit. You see, because when we are strong in God's Spirit, we can do anything for Jesus. And so I close with this. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine, glows with thy fire divine. Amen.